this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is.
Just a little bit further down to your... Down, no, you're right, Corsair.
My right or your right?
Corsair's right.
Corsair's right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, oh, that's pretty good.
Okay,
boy.
A little lower? Okay, we got it.
Okay, oh, good. We really need these air conditioning units.
You know, flying too close to the sun just burned out the old ones.
Oh,
you can't
man.
Keep doing that.
Yeah, okay. Now let's get back so we can record.
Whoa!
Okay.
Hey!
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 Where have you been?
I just came through there. Did you guys get the note I left?
What note?
What note?
The Iron Man convention, San Jose.
Oh, not again.
I've been lost in the Winchester house for like a week now. If I hadn't found that door...
Derek, it's been more than a week. You've missed like 3 episodes.
Oh, God. Well, at least I found a door at the end of some stairs that were leading to nowhere, and I just came through back there. Wait a minute.
That's gone, right? Of course.
No. What is that?
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we.
Lost, dazed, and confused as usual.
Together again.
I really hope these air conditioning units work.
Yeah, because let me tell you, the heat in this TARDIS is un-by-God-believable. And that is where you are, in a TARDIS. Which TARDIS, you might ask? The Corsair's TARDIS. And which room in the TARDIS are we in? We are in the Corsair's closet. I'm the mad woman with the box. She is the time siren. He is the awful husband, a.k.a. the NASA nerd. And we are all dying.
Of the heat.
Yes.
I am Corsair, I want to talk to you. We are getting rid of that Chatsworth room. No buts. I'm not flying another parsec with that thing in here.
No, we really need to swap out some kind of an igloo room. You know, one of those places just made entirely of ice glasses, ice walls, ice chairs.
I think that's going a little too far.
Do they have that ice hotel in the summer?
Yes!
I would just settle for a Northern California or San Luis Obispo room or even San Diego. Anything but this!
Yeah.
Oxnard, even.
Oh, please. Anything that's about 20 degrees cooler.
Or Pasadena the other night. Let me tell you, the weather was gorgeous on the 4th of July. Because I had to stand outside for a while. My aunt and I went to see a 50th anniversary theater screening of A Hard Day's Night.
Wow.
And I forgot how much I love that movie.
Oh, that's a great,
yeah.
A bouncy, uppity movie.
I've never seen any of the original... Beatles movie.
I've never seen it beginning to end.
Except for Yellow Submarine.
I love that.
Hard Day's Night.
So
I believe it can be like labeled definitively as the first mockumentary because it's a day in the life of the Beatles, but it's, you know, exaggerated. There's a cast of characters. They have Paul's grandfather that they're dragging along with them everywhere. Real mix of that one, but he's very clean.
Oh.
But actually, it was kind of funny. When I went to see the movie, I had a bit of a cosplay moment. It was kind of like, you know, not only an example of the extremes some people will go to get something just right, but it was kind of like, you know, it's interesting how cosplay can kind of create moments in your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
In 1964, the Beatles played at the Hollywood Bowl, and if I'm getting my facts right, and if, you know, my family told the story right, it was their second ever appearance in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Well, my mother and my aunt were both, you know, over their head in Beatlemania. They were hardcore fans.
Everybody was in those days.
Yes, they
were probably in the, who was the first show host to have them?
Ed Sullivan.
They were probably in the Ed Sullivan audience. They're screaming their mother-loving brains out.
I don't think they were able to get tickets to that one. That or both of them weren't able to get tickets. I have to double-check.
But that's probably what they were doing or channeling at the time.
Stuff like that. Anyway, they sent away to try and get tickets, and they couldn't get them. They were devastated. They had one last great hope. And the name of this show has kind of been lost to history. My aunt remembers it sometimes. I'll have to ask her. But there was a local L.A. show, which is very similar to American Bandstand. But like I said, it was strictly an L.A. thing. Mm. And they hosted a Beatles lookalike contest. And the prize was tickets to see the show.
Oh, cool.
Well, my mother, and this is the woman who, after she fought cancer, wanted only two things. She wanted to not die, and she wanted her ponytail back. And before she died, she managed to grow a little tuft of hair at the back of her neck that she could wrap a hairband around and didn't fall out. That was her ponytail. Aww. And she babied my hair when I was a kid, you know, because I had much thicker hair. And so she's like, you know, you got to take care of it.
Yeah.
My mother, the woman who loved her hair more than life, she went ahead and she had my grandmother, a beautician, cut her hair into a Beatles shag cut.
Oh, wow.
And she entered the contest as a Paul McCartney.
Oh, nice.
And she won.
Oh.
She won the contest. She got the tickets. And believe it or not, of the four people that won as, you know, lookalike Beatles, three of them were girls. And she stayed friends with Ringo for most of her life. With the Ringo winner.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a case that, you know, it's music. You don't see a lot of music cosplay unless you're a Kiss fan or something.
Yeah.
There are people who do it that are not in tribute bands and what have you. But for me, it kind of created a moment in time because, you know, it's a story I can share with other people who are Beatle fans, and it was a huge deal for her at the time. She told that story until the day she died, God love her. Mm. And for my aunt, it's like a really big memory for her, too. So it's kind of an interesting thing how cosplay can have such a huge impact. I mean, that little thing, you know, her cutting off her hair so she can look like Paul McCartney, it's kind of followed me through my life, and it followed her through her life. I mean...
Yeah.
Because she really did look a lot like Paul McCartney, especially with the haircut.
Wow.
And to this day, my aunt and I were talking, and we kind of look at Paul McCartney. You think Mom would look like that if she were around today? Well, yeah, I think she would. I like to say that my mom was a dead ringer for Paul McCartney, but she's a little more attractive.
We always had this running joke for the longest time. Paul McCartney and Dick Clark were aliens.
Yes.
Because they never aged. And for like 30 years, they looked absolutely the same. I swear through my entire childhood, growing up into adulthood, past marriage, Paul McCartney's face showed not a single wrinkle. Then one day, all of a sudden, woof, it all fell down.
It all came at once.
Yep. Yes. And believe it or not, my mother would probably look like that.
Oh my God. You know what? We went to see Maleficent yesterday. Oh, it's an Earthy Majors review, Maleficent.
Oh yeah.
And there was this, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, a trailer or something. Mick Jagger was in it. Wow, you talk about someone...
Oh, it was a trailer for James Brown movie.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, and, I want to see that.
It looked like someone took all the collagen out of Jagger's face, and it just looks like it's melting down into his neck. Oh, my God, he looks awful.
Yeah, but he's still touring, and the shows are even better than they were
like
when he was
60
young.
Years old, and they're still touring.
And they always said...
Good for them.
Yeah.
They said they were never going to tour. Well, you know, we won't be touring when we're 40. Are you kidding?
Oh,
well, they're not
please.
Touring when they're 40.
Please, no. Yeah, past their 40s.
Yeah. And believe it or not, my aunt and I actually have tickets to see Paul McCartney when he's coming to Dodger Stadium, I think, in August or September.
Really?
Yeah. It's a thing. The seats are right up at the top. We're not going to be able to see squat.
Probably not.
But... if I didn't go to this concert, my mother would rise from the dead, come to my house, knock on my door, and strangle me dead.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, so probably. We're going to go see Paul. You know, we have, my aunt calls it a reverse bucket list. We're trying to see a bunch of musicians before they die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so.
A reverse bucket list.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to see all these people before they die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul's probably going to be retiring pretty soon. So,
oh, I would think so.
Yeah. We're
going
to see him one last time.
I love his voice.
Yeah,
oh, he's
so
just.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a moment, so yeah, you know, for my mom, it was an extreme she went to, cutting her hair to look like Paul McCartney, and for me, her little Paul McCartney cosplay moment has kind of followed me through my life, and anytime I look at Paul McCartney now, I can kind of go like, you know, looks just like my mom!
Oh, that's weird. That's
yeah.
very strange.
Yeah.
Well...
Hey, let me just, since you reminded me, there's a movie out in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s called I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, yes.
You ever see that?
I saw fragments of it.
It was about these kids that wanted to go see the Beatles as they arrived on the Ed Sullivan Show.
You know, I think I've seen parts of that movie.
Yeah. But what was great, you have them on set, you know, they had four actors playing the Beatles. But they angled it right as the camera passes over their faces. You hit the TV screens or you watch the screens on the back of the cameras.
Yeah.
So you never see the actors, but you actually see them as they were filmed on the Ed Sullivan
Show.
Oh,
that is so cool.
So it's very clever.
Yeah.
It's a fun little film.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I need to see it in its entirety, man.
I am glad we had a lot to distract us this weekend. I mean, aside from the brain-choking heat, because two huge things happened this weekend. I'm so bummed we missed Labyrinth.
Oh!
And Anime Expo.
Yes. I miss Anime Expo.
I am mega bummed. I would have rather gone to Labyrinth. I know a couple of our friends did. I want to try and interview them, Rob and April, and we'll see. Because April posted an image on her Facebook of a beautiful mask that, and she had somebody help her do a costume and sew it. So I'm glad they had a good time, but I want to go next year.
I want to go back to Anime Expo.
I want to go to Labyrinth.
You know what I heard in the news?
What?
There are 200,000 people at Anime Expo.
Shut up.
That's almost twice as much as Comic-Con.
That's freaking mind-blowing. I can't imagine that they didn't use every square centimeter of that bloody LA Convention Center. I can't even imagine.
I'm surprised people were able to leave the building. They had to be squeezed in so tight. My God in heaven.
They not only used the Convention Center, they used the Pia Theater across the street. Which is a great venue, by the way.
They probably stuck the overflow in the Staples Center.
I see AKB 48 there.
Yeah.
I see Harvest there.
I actually went to the Mark Bryan Christmas show there a few years ago at the Nokia Theater. And it was, that's the one by LA Live, right?
Right, in the LA Live.
Yeah, I went and saw that show there.
It's a nice theater.
Yeah, like down in front, too, like on the floor. And it's a nice place.
Yeah.
Like,
very nice.
Yeah, it really is. So next year, ladies and germs, let us plan for it.
Hirari Parmu. Parmu was just there back in February, which is on the last day of Gallifrey, which is why I didn't go see her.
Yeah.
But I love her music, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next year, Labyrinth!
Next year, we're going to
clone Planet Tokyo, play Pon Pon Pon! I love that song!
We're going to clone the awful husband so he can be everywhere he wants to be.
Yes, yeah.
And shout out to Planet Tokyo, doing a great job.
Yes! Yes, you guys are actually on Krypton Radio.
I would love to hear the steampunk
on Sunday
thing,
evenings.
But that's on Wednesdays from 7 to 9, and during the week, that's when I'm writing or doing other things, so I don't listen to steampunk show they have, but I would love to.
Yeah, and your blog is coming along swimmingly. You have not run out of ideas yet. I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
So why don't you give a little, why don't you pimp yourself out a little bit here about that?
Well, you can find me at DennisAmilaricherry.com/blog. Or you look at my Facebook page, which is Dennis Amilaricherry, the writer. And just check it out. What I try to do, since I'm learning so much about writing from blogs, I'm trying to share stuff that I learned from them or stuff I learned from other writers or wherever I can.
Yeah.
So that's mostly it.
Yeah, so go visit and comment and, give them some ideas on what else you'd like to see about writing about.
Don't be a stranger.
Yes. Please comment, because right now I'm getting spam.
Be strange, and be strange, but don't be a stranger.
Spam bots or whatever. That's the comments I get.
Oh, always. Yeah. Always. I'm
fight
telling
the spam bots. Comment on the blog.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a real comment.
There you go.
Yes, good.
Yes, please. Something that doesn't have Viagra and Cialis in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Last week I commented on, do you remember film strips? You probably don't, Madeline, because you're too young. Do you remember film strips in high school?
Film what?
Film strips.
Yeah.
What, like dental hygiene and you?
Yes. No.
When I was in high school in my senior year in AP English, our teacher, who was also the head of the English department, would sometimes get these materials, education materials.
Right.
And they'd ask him to review it and see what he thought about them. And he'd simply pass it down to us. And so there's this one film strip about science fiction called Where the Weird Ideas Come From. And I was just so offended that the science fiction just weird ideas. And to this day, I remember that was one of my blog posts last year.
Yeah, one of his rants.
Really cool.
Yeah.
One of his rants.
Oh, so fun.
And I post Mondays and Fridays, that's new stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
and
please visit.
Thoughtful, intelligent stuff that comes out of that crazy head.
Comment, give me some new ideas.
It comes out of that weird brain.
Yes.
Comes out interesting and intriguing ideas.
Yes, I need to start blogging. Maybe that'll help me get more writing.
You know what?
Done.
You guys need to promote each other's blogs and comment on each other's blogs, and that will get more people.
Yes.
There you go.
I'll follow you. You follow me.
So.
Yay!
Comment early, comment often. So, behind the curve, we finally saw Maleficent.
Yay! Okay.
Slightly behind the curve.
Tell me everything that you felt when you saw this movie, because I've seen it, and you guys didn't, and now you have, and I want to know.
Well, I read a spoiler or two. io9.com, which is a British online magazine.
Should we give a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
Go to the kitchen, get a drink.
Yeah, so, get out of here if you haven't seen this and you don't want to be spoiled.
And you're
safe. Go. io9.com gave a couple of spoilers, and I went, this doesn't sound too good, but I'll go in with an open mind, what the heck. The special effects were breathtaking.
Amazing, yes.
Absolutely freaking amazing.
They did a really good job.
Her wings are freaking amazing. Every time she flew up into the clouds in a profile, I kept thinking of an angel.
Yes.
Of course, an angel with Satan's horns, but that's okay.
Well, it really paints a different picture of her, because she's the protagonist in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird turnaround, but I liked it. Mm. And I liked, actually, that Aurora wanted to go run away and live with her in the forest. I would totally do it! I would totally do it! Yeah. Screw me and the princess! Who needs all that responsibility? Go run away and play with the fairies the rest of your life.
Run away with your fairy godmother who wears the badass black crown.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I read something about Aurora when she was like 3 or 4 years old.
Now, are we talking the character or the actress?
The actress. Well, kind of both. Because there's a scene in the movie where Aurora, when she's small, 3 or 4 years old, sees Maleficent in the forest, and Maleficent's been hiding from her all this time. And she comes up to her, and she doesn't know who she is. So she's picking up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, hi.
And I can't remember where I read this, but that was actually Angelina Jolie's daughter.
Oh, was that her daughter?
Yeah. And you know why?
Why?
Because they had other kids try out for the part, and once you put Angelina Jolie in all that makeup and the costume, they were all afraid of her.
And the, and the horns.
But only her daughter.
But her daughter, that was just mom.
Oh, God. That is so cute.
Yeah. So it's a good thing she had a daughter.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I actually heard long before the movie ever came out, when they signed on Angelina Jolie, they kind of wanted to use her to pimp the movie. You know, Angelina Jolie, you know, gorgeous woman. Yeah. So they were going to, like, exotify Maleficent a little bit. And Angelina was like, no. Warp you guys. I want the high cheekbones. I want the horns. I want the, you know, pointy chin and
pointy ears.
Yeah, pointy ears and, you know, the minions and everything.
All the fairy attributes.
Yeah, I want to look like the monster in the Disney cartoon. So you make me look like that. I want to play this straight.
That was a very good call.
Well, because she knew her kids would see it, she wanted to be Maleficent for her children. Yeah. So that she didn't let them use sex appeal to promote the movie. She's like, if I'm going to be Maleficent, I'm going to be Maleficent.
Well, yeah.
Get me the prosthetics, get me the contacts, put the horns on my freaking head.
It would be wrong to make her, you know, a sex object because Maleficent is evil!
Yes. Yeah, well, even just to pretty her up, Maleficent was scary. And so Angelina Jolie wanted to be scary.
Well, actually, you know, when I saw Maleficent, even the first time up until, you know, every time I see Sleeping Beauty, she is regal evil. I mean, she's beautiful. And that, you know, her face is beautiful. I mean, she's got that kind of haughty look in the animation, but that's what I equate with, sometimes evil is beautiful. And she looks fine. I mean, she's not hideous. She doesn't look like a hag or a warty-looking witch.
Well, she doesn't have nose or anything, but, I mean, she's all sharp angles and bared teeth.
Yeah, I love the cheeks.
She's very frightening.
I love the cheeks.
The cheeks were really amazing how they pointed.
Yeah, well, they made her look like the cartoon. And in the cartoon, like I was saying, the way that she's drawn, she's all sharp angles and bared teeth and sneers. So she's a scary-looking character, even if she's beautiful. But she's frightening, and that's what Angelina Jolie wanted. Yeah. She wanted to be frightening, intimidating.
No, every time she turned around and did something that you could tell she was mad about, you were kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
So that made sense. It was beautiful, but, you know, the one thing that people were bitching about, and again, if you do not want to be spoiled, get the heck out of the room, because I'm going to tell you right now. IO9, part of what they ripped this thing open about was that she herself did not turn into the dragon. And I, you know, when that part came, I thought, you know what, that's okay, because none of this is really following the original story.
Yeah, this is
line per line.
This is supposed to be the real story, the untold story. Yeah. So the dragon and stuff, you know, the way it's being portrayed in the movie, that's what people have told, and that's what the story became. But this is the real version, quote unquote.
You know, people have this arrogance about Disney. They think because they grew up with this, it's their story, and Disney cannot mess with it. Well, it's Disney's story. Hello, they could do whatever the heck they want with it.
Pretty much.
A nice alteration to the story.
Well, all these fairy tales that they've modernized, you know, even Once Upon a Time is a great example.
Yeah.
Where they take the story and give it a little twist.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a little different.
I like seeing that. Yeah. It's fun.
You know, because telling the story as it was in the animation would be nice, but this gives you some surprise.
You know what? Fans have been doing alternate universe stories ever since Evil Empire and Star Trek.
Well, you know, in Japan, this is nothing new.
Mirror Universe.
I mean, look at Death Note. It started out as a manga. Then the anime was fairly close to the manga. But then the live-action movies took liberties on that. But Japan, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
When it goes to different media, do you expect changes? And most of the time, you have to make changes because it is different media.
Yeah.
And the story
that's okay. It's totally... I did not have a problem with it. It was
makes
cool.
sense because you had the other guy who was the crow, and then she turned into a human, and then she turned him into a horse. So he was the one that got turned into different things. So it made perfect sense that he was turned into
this dragon.
She never turned into anything.
I love... Yes, it did. You're right. And I love the fact she got her wings back.
Yeah,
I love that.
That made me happy.
I loved in the end when she and the crow were flying together.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yes.
That was awesome.
And how true love saved the day, but it wasn't the true love of the prince.
That was a nice twist.
It was true love. Because, you know, Maleficent, who'd been just so brutally hurt, she fell in love with the girl she was supposed to hate.
Well, Dennis actually said she had set herself up for that.
She did. Think about it. When she was blessing the child... She said, "Everybody who meets you will love you." Well, that included her.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
She was under the caveat of her own curse.
Yeah.
You know, that and then not being able to take the curse away, too.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Aurora was the narrator. She's like, "And now I'm queen." And yes.
That's
how I know the
story. That's a surprise, because it sounded so much like Maleficent.
I love it so much. I love the movie. I have a lot of feelings, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. That was good. It was good. I'm going to go hunt up some ice, so Awful Husband, why don't you talk about what you found at the mall planet the other day, and I will let you have the helm here for a few minutes.
You mentioned that you found some interesting stuff.
Yes, well, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about LEGO and their Ideas program.
Uh-huh.
That's where fans will make a creation, and they will submit it to LEGO on their website. And if it gets 10,000 votes, 10,000 likes, then LEGO will actually consider...
Oh, yeah, we talked about that with the Ghostbusters
thing. Right, they made Ecto-1. Well, now, a couple of guys have made... I picked up the Brick Journal. It's the number 29, June 2014. I just picked this up a couple of days ago, so it's probably still out there. And in it, there is a LEGO TARDIS set. A console room.
What?
A console room... From the new Doctor set.
Okay, let's see this. Let's turn it around. Let's see it here.
Okay, let me point it over to the microphone.
Yes, point it at the microphone so everyone can see.
Yes, everyone in the audience, check this out. It is super uber cool.
Yes.
And if you don't have your visual acuity there, go to the website, look at the show notes for this episode. Oh my God! I want, must have... This LEGO TARDIS console, holy crap!
This is from Brick Journal. Just go into any LEGO store and you can find one.
Oh. I'm choking on this, oh my God!
There's 11th Doctor!
They're also proposing this guy customized LEGO minifigures to look like every single Doctor, including the War Doctor.
Sarah Jane and a Silent and a Weeping Angel and uh-oh! Mad Woman, look at the corner! There is nothing wrong with your microphone. That is Mad Woman going hyper.
Because
the TARDIS is next to a desk, and at the desk is a Craig Ferguson figure. Now tell us how you really feel.
So everybody go to LEGO Ideas and vote for this.
What?
So they will consider making a set out of it.
Okay, you know what shocked me? Is that she spazzed out about that and not the 11th Doctor, and she said she wants the Craig Ferguson movie, the 11th Doctor. So I felt her forehead, and she's not running a fever despite the heat in here.
It's Craig Ferguson, okay? It is, and besides, Craig Ferguson is my caveat to the American Doctor rule, because he is an American citizen now, and I want Craig Ferguson to be a future incarnation of the Doctor. So he is my caveat. I say there's nothing wrong with an American Doctor as long as it's Craig Ferguson.
Well, he's still British.
But he's an American citizen now, so technically, and he will be the first to tell you, technically he would be an American Doctor.
That would be freaking amazingly awesome.
And he's very
wonderful.
Proud of his citizenship, so he would be the first to tell you, I would be the first American Doctor.
With the heaviest Scott accent I have ever heard.
Yes.
He puts David Tennant to shame. So on the heels of that, unless you had more to say about that.
No, that's about it. I mentioned we bought the
blew your mind.
The
yes.
Everything is Awesome version of the Lego Movie.
Yes, and that's what we're going to be reviewing after. Yes. Well, watching after this, of course. But on the subject of Doctor Who, there is a new trailer out. Okay, come on, BBC. I don't know what it is with your commercials over there. Do you really have 15-second slots? Really? I mean,
Japan does.
There's this commercial for Doctor Who in August. And it's just enough to show the Doctor... Well, okay, spoiler here. Get out of the room if you don't want to know. It shows the Doctor at the TARDIS.
I think we just lost all our audience.
Probably.
Hello?
We sent them away.
Hello? Okay, well, I'll tell the walls
come
then.
Come back. The trailer's not that big.
Yes, I will tell the wall then that it's Capaldi at the TARDIS console getting electrocuted. And the voice, well, I won't spoil that part, but that voice is unmistakable.
You know who the voice is.
You will know them by the sound of their voice.
And oh, holy crap. So we know who the first bad guy is up in the season, probably. Unless this is for later on, because sometimes, you know, those trailers that they've had in prior seasons, starting, I think, with Matt Smith, have always been like a conglomeration of pictures from every episode. I mean, the trailer for the first season even had something from the last two-part, you know, season finale. It had pictures of Stonehenge, so...
It's kind of a
trailer... I'm waiting for that.
It's kind of a trailer of the story arc.
Yes!
So it could be anywhere in the
story. I'm waiting for that, yeah. So who knows if this is going to be, you know... We just know definitely something is coming back.
Yeah.
So that's freaking lovingly awesome. Wow. Whee! Ah! Okay. So, breathe. Oh, I think the temperature's coming down. Or is just that just the ice pack around my neck?
I think it's the ice pack.
I think it's the ice pack.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, before I pass out here, well, I want to give a shout-out to Neohuvian. Thank you, Marcia, for turning us on to Star Trek Continues.
Oh, yeah.
It is awesome. We sat down and we watched the episode Leilani. And it's a, for those in the uninformed here and now, it is a continuation of the classic Star Trek. And it was really nice because it had Chris doing it. It was James doing son.
And he's a dead ringer for his daddy, let me
tell
you.
Oh, the voice? Oh, my God.
The voice and from far away. Wow, when you see a whole total bridge scene and you're looking, you know, you're in front of Kirk and you're looking past him.
He could have been doing double.
Yes,
he could have been. It's awesome.
It was amazing. And the episode itself, it was so incredible.
It was very in line with the original series.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was...
It could have easily been an episode.
It was...
I mean, an official episode.
Part of the production team and writer, right down to the set constructions, is Vic Minonga. And he is best known to us in the TARDIS as the voice of Edward Elric from the anime Full Metal Alchemist. Really nice and cool and wonderful.
And he's a nice guy. We've seen
him. And that man can sing.
He's
hello.
He's a singer, yes.
Yes, he's fantastic. And he's looking really good.
And he also he's also the singer of one of the themes of One Piece. But they've changed production companies.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's available
and
anymore.
And boy, he can belt it out. He's a wonderful person.
Wow.
And they... Yeah, it was just, I was squeeing through the whole thing and distracting everybody. But it was very good. It was a good story. It was very much a moral tale like the originals were. Leilani is about the theme of slavery and human trafficking.
Yeah, and I thought it made its point with such gravitas. I actually got a little bit, you know, a little bit of a lump in my throat at the end. It hit home a lot.
It did.
There's another fan production company called Star Trek Phase 2. I've heard of it. I haven't checked it out. I'll check it out for next time. But even David Gerald does like some script polishing for them. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, so and
there's
somebody else in Star Trek Continues that you pointed out, Mad Woman.
Yeah, I believe he was playing Mr. Sulu, and it was none other than Gallifrey favorite, Mythbuster Supreme, and the father of Jeffrey Peterson, Craig Ferguson's robot sidekick, Grant Imahara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Every time he comes up, his name comes up, her awful husband goes, who? And we have to list off all of this stuff. We're hoping one day will stick.
Well, you say he plays a David Tennant doctor. Okay, now I know.
Yeah.
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 No, all you need to know is father of Jeff Peterson.
Or Mythbusters.
Mythbusters, yes.
But Jeff Peterson.
Well, if you don't know who Jeff Peterson is, how's that going to help you?
But everybody knows Jeff Peterson.
But I don't.
Late Night TV's first gay robot sidekick.
I they loved that late for late night TV.
That's what time shifting is for, darling.
And YouTube.
Yes.
Yes, this is why we have VCRs. Anyway. Anyway, from here, we go to the BoobTube feed. Couple new things coming up for Cartoon Network. Take it away, Awfulous Husbandess.
Oh, well, my biggest thing is Total Drama Island is coming back.
Yay! Total Drama Island!
And if you're listening to this Wednesday, you've already missed the first two episodes.
So watch the reruns. Or go back in time and tape it. I mean, we did.
They're doing one episode a night for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're wow. gonna they're
Instead
gonna
of like on every Tuesday or whatever.
They're gonna knock off a contestant yeah. every day.
And well, from where we're taping tomorrow, which is Monday, they'll do an hour long.
Yeah,
and then it's 1 half-hour show from every day of the week.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's kind of like real life reality show yeah. type thing.
That's
like
the
that.
Only reality show we watch.
My guess is they're doing it for summertime ratings.
Cause yeah,
ratings across the board fall off because people go on vacation.
I knew there was something coming up with Total Drama because they've been showing the old ones like crazy, like 2 and 3 hours a day. And they never do that unless they're going to follow it up with another one.
Yeah.
And I still have not seen the one where Gwen and Duncan kiss. Unfair. Anyway, but that's only part of it. The Awful Husband has the cool part to part.
Yes, on July 13th, which I believe is a Sunday,
yeah.
Ninjago comes back.
Ooh.
And that is my favorite Cartoon Network Lego show.
Nice.
And so, no, there are more than once. Don't make fun of them.
Yeah. Well, yes. There's also Legends of Chiba. Didn't really get into the first season. The second season started picking up, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got the writers from Ninjago or whatever, but it really started picking up.
Yeah, so. I can't get past that first episode. It just was.
Yeah, it's kind of it was, juvenile.
It was like a bad trip on acid, man. I just wait. Is this
no
a trailer?
Acid makes more sense?
This is an actual episode.
Acid what? Makes more sense than that. Seriously,
the way they edited it was a little confusing.
Yeah, that was probably
it.
It
was a lot confusing. I'm sorry. It was so bad.
Are you familiar with the Yoda Chronicles of Cartoon Network?
I am not.
Oh, that's where basically they do Star Wars in Lego with all the Lego figures.
Oh, okay.
And Jack 14, which is one of the characters there, there is a Lego version of his Starfighter.
Oh, really?
So they are making
that's one of the one clones that survived, right? The real powerful one?
That's the Jedi clone.
Yeah.
That has the clone that has the Force.
The Jedi Stormtrooper with the transparent blue eyes.
And he doesn't want to be evil like the Emperor wants him to be.
Aww.
So.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like the pre-embryonic rebellion pushing him either. So
right.
He wants to be his own clone. So
but
he
has this own Starfighter. It's kind of like an X-Wing, but it's only got one wing on each side that doesn't...
Right.
Wings. But that is a Lego model.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice
to
see this.
I'm glad that they're building models from that particular series.
Yes.
There's four of them, and they all are on DVD in one set.
Very
so
cool.
Them. So check them out or check them out on YouTube or something. They're really well done. They have the Lego sense of humor to them, and they're really good stories.
Yes. They are actually, overall, the Lego animations do have pretty good stories.
And there's a Lego school bus, which is a flying school bus. It's a Jedi training. A Jedi school bus. I wish they'd make that into a set.
Yeah. Well, get 10,000 people to like it within minutes of putting it up.
Yes, let's
and
see.
Boom.
You and me and Time Siren. All we need now is a lot of computers and a lot of phony accounts.
Yes.
And we can make this happen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Lego does listen to its audience. They have ambassadors, which are Lego fans. You know, they're not working for the company, but they reach out to these ambassadors and they ask them, well, what in the community do people want to see?
Yeah, they kind of have their pulse on what's going on
and that's very
the
cool.
internet, and they see what people are building. That's the big tip-off is that since the community of Awfuls and younger are so huge and they're always showing off their designs, they're going to get a sense pretty quick as to what's becoming really super popular.
I mean, in this Brick Journal magazine I was talking about, there have been the time-flying DeLoreans for ages that people have built, and now they finally came out with an official set.
That's
so
cool.
Lego does look at what other people build.
Yeah, I like that they do that.
And they go, oh, okay, that's an interest.
Yes.
Or they, in some cases, they take something that a fan has built and say, okay, we're going to buy that set and make it officially.
Okay, you know what I want to look on the net for? I want to find a cosplay of Zane's girlfriend, the female robot.
Yes.
I can't remember her name, but I really want to see her because she's cute. Ah, robot love. Yes.
Robots and love. It's not just for Wall-E anymore.
There you go.
But, yes. I love what Lego and Cartoon Network are doing together. And the sets they're building. So, and of course, there's a lot of Ninjago sets. So I want to get some of those, too.
Yeah.
I need about $2,000 or $3,000 right now, Time Siren, to just kind of catch up on everything.
Yeah.
And Lego.
You do for Lego, me for cosplay, and to get a bigger room in the TARDIS. Because right now, there's, like, no room.
I'm running out of space, spaces. So.
Yes, we are. We are. So, that is all I really have on my list. It's been kind of a thin week. If it hadn't been for Marcia, we might have just blown off podcasting.
Yeah, so, Marcia, you saved the episode!
Thank you!
Well, I do want to do a shout-out, because as this weekend is passing by, there is also Anime Expo, which, from I hear on the news, is now 200,000 people big.
You know,
comparing that to San Diego Comic-Con, which is capped at 110,000 because they just don't have any more space.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I think they do actually hit like 125 with all the guests, volunteers, vendors. Volunteers alone, or one of those numbers, is 3,000. So that's not included in the attendees. So, you know. And we never did hear about our Krypton Radio press passes, so I guess they turned their noses up on us.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just amazed because San Diego Comic-Con is every fandom, including anime, and here you have an anime convention that's over 200,000 people.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. They're going to give Comic-Con a run for their money.
Yes.
So, definitely. So, anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're good to go, and maybe we can finally finish getting these AC units installed, and we can
get them turned on.
Yeah, avoid orbiting any more suns.
Yes.
Talk to the Corsair about that. You hear that, Corsair?
Yeah.
You think in the summer we can go around one of those ice suns?
Oh, cold stars. Yes, they do exist. They do.
Yes, they're, we need to find a cold star.
They're like cold fusion, or maybe they are cold fusion.
Wait a minute. That door from the Winchester house is back.
Oh, no.
Okay, wait.
I'm going the other way.
Okay, no, I'm just going to open it. I'm going to see.
No.
Liz, don't. No.
Wait, do you hear those noises coming from the other side?
Go get them.
Oh, no. I'll be right back.
No.
That's what you said last time.
Wait a minute. Is that Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, no.
Robert!
We lost her again.
Crap, a doodle. We can't keep carrying these episodes ourselves. Okay. I'm going to put an ad in Facebook and Twitter for a new co-host.
Let's have a contest for a guest host.
Time Siren! Peter Davison's over here, too!
Bye!
Hey, wait a minute!
The Corsetteers would like to review, praise, and pimp Disney's Maleficent, Doctor Who and Lego, Star Trek Continues, Women Who Could Pass as Paul McCartney, and Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsairs-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, and blog. We would love to hear from you.